How was the conversation Sunday?
Good. It turned into pretty deep discussion again about where the hang-ups are theologically. It started out, I thought we were going to talk more about my latest little publication on the article, the evidence of Christ in us. But the discussion went back even a step further backwards and goes back to the issue of why is it so hard to see this? There's a deeper issue. I can't even focus on the evidence if my mind can't even go there at all.
Mm-hmm.
If my mind won't even be open to the possibility that I could be living as Christ. It really occurred to me is that it really is a matter of the theological paradigms that have been so entrenched, and we just can't get beyond them.
Yeah. You know, when I was reading your article on the evidence, I got to thinking about the temple.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the two verses that jumped out, but it talked about how we, our bodies, are the temple now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. And that's where God resides.
Exactly.
You know, just like the tabernacle, just like the ark, except we are the tabernacle, the ark, if you will, now, and that's where we reside.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and for me, I guess it turned out to be relatively easy when I asked myself the question, if the Trinity is three in one and inseparable, how come we only have the Holy Spirit in us?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And once I started thinking about that, I go, that's wrong. We got all three.
Mm-hmm.
So that kind of was my turning point.
Okay.
But again, it's like so much of this, we can talk and we can talk and we can talk. And until someone sits down and really pursues it on their own, reads the scriptures, listens to what the Holy Spirit's telling them, they're going to fight a tooth and nail.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're right. Well, as I've established in my own life, and I've referred to it, this whole line of thinking wouldn't have been even considered if I didn't have an interest or desire.
Right.
A thirst.
Mm-hmm.
I can go back and trace when this started to open up for me and change. My theological perceptions began to crack and change is when I was willing to follow my thirst.
Mm-hmm.
When I was willing to say, I don't know Christ enough and I want to know. And when I followed that desire, it led me to authors I'd never seen before. It led me to perceptions of the scriptures that I never realized before.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So unless you have that thirst or that desire, those things are not going to open. They're not going to come. And I think I'm seeing this with some of our brothers and sisters. I think I'd like to know that, and that's a really good idea, and it sounds good, but I'm still not there, and I'm pretty sure the reason is that they're not hungry or really desiring.
Yeah, I think you're right. There's an interest, a curiosity, maybe. But yeah, they're not, they just haven't gotten to the point to where it's really eating at them. It's, you know, it's an itch that doesn't need to be scratched yet.
Yeah. you come to a point, or at least in my experience, you come to a point where you think, wait a minute, what I've been teaching and preaching and thinking all these years, I'm not so sure it's really authentic, or I'm not so sure that it's really answering my deepest desires. And so why I'm hungry for something deeper and more authentic.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm believing that until you get there with that, or you process that, it's this, all this going to, this discussion is going to be is, oh, that's curious. That's interesting. Never mm-hmm. seen it that way before, but it's not going to lock on and really change anything for you personally.
Right.
That's your appetite.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, I mean, it's like anything else. We will really pursue the things that we're interested in.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. When it comes to religion, when it comes to Christ, one of the biggest problems we have is we're too comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
In the back of our mind, we're going to heaven anyway.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's Christianity, you know, with all the talk we've had of how off base we've been and the institutional church still is, one of the biggest problems they have created is that of feeling comfortable.
Yeah, dude. And if you try to say to someone, the average Christian today, that you question the whole idea of going to heaven,
mm-hmm.
you're raising some pretty serious hackles right away.
Mm-hmm.
Because as you say, that's been a very comfortable, that's been something that's been very helpful to people, encouraging that mm-hmm. there is a reward, that this, it's going to be better. I'm going to be forever at peace, and I'm forever without any problem or pain. I mean, that's a pretty strong message. It mm-hmm. has been for hundreds and hundreds of years or more. And to tell people, I'm just not so sure it's that way. Whoa.
Yeah.
You're pulling the rug right out from under them. And you better have a pretty plausible reason or explanation of why it is that you don't think heaven is the goal.
Well, you think they'll even listen?
the defenses go up.
Yeah.
All right. I know this personally.
Mm-hmm.
And this is one of the major hangups that we come up against. And the feeling has is that pulling, in a sense, foundation to live for and lived and believed in. So mm-hmm. what is there left for me to hold on to? Especially with the, as chaotic as the world is getting right now, for most Christians, the only hope is, oh, somehow we're going to get out of here and we're not going to have to face this anymore. So,
well, in a way, we are going to get out of here. You know, we're going to die. Our soul, spirit's going to go somewhere.
Yes.
And hang out mm-hmm. until God fixes the earth and sends us all back. I just hope wherever we're at during this hanging around time, I just hope there's some wineries we get to visit, you know.
Well, the common theology, and it's so illustrated in whole crusade strategy, tell people that there's a better hope, that they can go to heaven. If you accept Christ, that's your ticket. And no matter what happens in life here now, you can have or hold on to that hope that you're going to have a place with God that will be without any chaos and pain. And that's what the Christian hope has been all about, getting mm-hmm. to go to heaven. If you die tonight, where would you wake up? That's been the whole strategy in evangelism. Don't die tonight without having your ticket, or you're going to go to the other place.
Well, and then along that line, if you want to mess everybody up, I mean, you've we can already start jerking our chain with, you know, you're not going to heaven,
mm-hmm.
because Jesus is coming back to turn the earth mm-hmm. into heaven. Mm-hmm. So we're all going to be here.
Mm-hmm.
I said, so as long as we're jerking that chain, why don't I just say, well, why do we need that prayer of salvation? Why do we even need to consider God or Jesus in this life? Because the Bible says every knee will bow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So at some point,
mm-hmm.
every one of us, and it says every one of us is going to stand before Christ in judgment.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So at some point, we're all going to experience the love of God in a way we have never experienced it before.
Right.
And we're all going to end up in heaven. So
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
let's go have another drink. You know, I mean, when I really started thinking, and now maybe I'm putting on the heretic hat, and I know the answer to what I'm going to state here, but if every knee will bow, and if mm-hmm. we're all going to stand before the Lord at some point,
mm-hmm.
what's the big push on getting people to accept Christ now?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I mean, my answer to that is, well, once you know him and start living, just without getting into the stuff we're getting into, but you start living by the principles that he described, you really become a better person.
That's the advantage. If we, okay, if I can articulate this simply, if we see that Christ living in us brings about a better life for us now,
mm-hmm.
okay, wouldn't that be incentive enough to receive Christ? You can, mm-hmm. you've promised, and he said, I will give you life and that more abundantly.
Mm-hmm.
So he was talking about a present day now experience.
Mm-hmm.
I can't understand why people would say, well, he's talking about a future. No, you receive me, I will give you life and that more abundantly.
Mm-hmm.
Right? The problem that goes is juxtaposed or conflicts with the idea that, well, wait a minute, you're telling me that if I receive Christ, that only gives me a hope of living with him forever in eternity. I have to die to get to that point.
Mm-hmm.
So living now is a holding pattern.
Mm-hmm.
Follow me? I know that I've received him, but what I've received is his gift or his ticket or his pass that assures me I'm going to be living with him in heaven.
Mm-hmm.
Not so much now. I've got to hold on and be patient and wait and try to be ready, making sure that I don't miss it. I've got to be watching for when he comes to get me.
Mm-hmm.
So you see those two, it's almost two antithetical ideas here. Christ now living abundantly in me, heaven is now, or heaven in the future.
Mm-hmm.
Which is it going to be?
Yeah.
And most Christians have opted to believe, well, no, heaven and that abundant is going to be future.
You know, and along the thinking of life more abundantly, you know, it's taught and perceived as future.
Mm-hmm.
Yet when you talk to Christians about how God has worked in their life,
mm-hmm.
well, he's blessed my business. He's blessed this. And they talk about all the things they've done for him in this life.
Yeah.
Okay. So where does the separation come then?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, and so we're separating it. He is busy. There's an awful lot of people. You know, he can't be everywhere at once. So.
Yeah, get in line, Dave.
Yeah.
So, wait your turn.
So it, you know, when I start thinking about this, it's like God shows up periodically.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And yeah.
Yeah, and there's no question that he's able and does bless us and mm-hmm. lets us know, okay, yeah, keep faithful, and I'll show you, I'll encourage you with my favor, or, and I'll answer your prayers. And this, in what that connotes, though, is that, okay, God is my Santa Claus in a way,
mm-hmm.
and if I keep being good boy and girl, he's gonna like me, and he's gonna give me gifts, and he's gonna do all that stuff for me. And that sort of encourages me to hold on and keep being faithful until that day where I get to be off in heaven with him fully. Well, and so if you tell a person, no, you are living in God's favor now. All of God lives in all of you. You have the fullness of God living in you right now. All of God, all the abundance of life is living in you right now. You get the weird look.
Yeah.
All right. So I'd rather believe that, no, God is, he's at the North Pole, and his blessings keep coming over to me. Someday I'll get to live with him at the North Pole. You know, I'll get to live at Elfland someday. You know, but to believe that Elfland is now, here,
yeah,
no, that doesn't make sense.
You haven't been to downtown Portland recently, have you?
Yeah. So try to tell that to somebody who's pain in their body, doesn't mm-hmm. have a job, family, marital discord. You're saying, yes, God is here now with you. He's in you. That doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
Because it conflicts with the paradigm.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So getting back to the struggle, then you can see why it's so hard to go here with the idea that, no, God is living in you. Christ mm-hmm. is in you. These are some of the huge hurdles that we have to get beyond. And one of, and comes, the essence of it is life now or life future.
Mm-hmm.
That's been the established paradigm and theological framework that we've grown up with in Western Christianity.
Yeah.
So it's a real struggle to say, to help people and encourage them, if you say, God is in you, and your circumstance right now is opportunity for him to demonstrate his grace and his love through this pain and through this circumstance. That's a real challenge.
Mm-hmm.
They would rather you say, hold on, brother, let me pray for you that things will get better, that God will hear your prayer and relieve your stress, answer your needs. I mean, that's what people would rather hear.
Yeah.
And so they would hold on to this idea, okay, well, maybe God will. Maybe that he will change this whole situation. Maybe it'll, if I just pray enough and I get more people to pray with me, God will change it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, God is working now in the problem, right? This, Paul, again, I think Paul is the clearest for us in this area when he discovered this whole dynamic himself. Remember when he cried out to God, he said, I beg God 3 times to change this situation in my life.
Mm-hmm.
And he wouldn't do it. Well, at least that's what I'm sure Paul was coming to the conclusion. God says, no, but that wasn't God's answer. Paul, don't you realize my grace is sufficient for you?
Mm-hmm.
That in your weakness, there I am. Your weakness is power and strength.
Mm-hmm.
So see, that's the crux of the issue, I believe, with people who are trying to get a hold of this line of thinking. God is still outside. He's not inside. If he's mm-hmm. inside, then I'm stuck.
Yeah.
I have to accept my circumstance.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't like that. I'd rather you beg God and change my circumstance.
Yeah.
So you're right. Why evangelize?
Mm-hmm.
And get people's hopes.
That's right. That's
get their hopes set up, and then they get discouraged. Well, you told me if I receive Christ, my life is going to be, all this stuff is going to be coming to me, and God was going to bless me, and my life's going to change, and all I had to do is pray, you know, and be faithful. Yeah, that's the line.
You know, it's, you know, evangelism needs to be teaching Jesus Christ without adding promises to it. Okay?
Yeah.
Just teaching Jesus Christ and letting the person draw on the promises Christ has made. And not me adding anything to it. Oh, he's going to heal your eyesight. How do I know that?
No, we don't.
You know, no. I mean, it's like that one lady asked me when she saw I was kind of struggling one day. And I was kind of hurting. And she came up and said, would you like to be healed? I just looked at her and says, what makes you think I'm not?
Exactly.
See, because I had long come to the understanding that God healed me as far as I was going to be healed. And what a healing it was.
Sure.
You know?
Yeah.
But, you know, people don't understand that.
No, because the message has been Christ plus.
Yeah.
Receive Jesus and all this other stuff you get as the benefits. We've preached a Christianity that's full of bennies.
I mean, yeah.
And that's the theology. But, hey, that's the selling point. Come to church and hear how Jesus can change your life. And how he changes your life is you get all the good things now.
Yeah.
But you're right. Evangelism should be, take Jesus for who he is. He is your life, and you're going to discover all the things that you are right now as he's living through you, problems or no problems, circumstances or whatever. He is here to demonstrate his reality in you. God, where does, see, we changed the whole thing around where our home was in heaven instead of where God's home is in earth. God's plan was not taking us to heaven. His plan was always to be in earth in us. And you're right. What better illustration was there than the temple? And Paul used that several times. You are the temple of God.
Yeah.
He lives in you. But we don't see that where we'll take it to a point. We'll say, okay, I guess I can see God might live in part of me, but I don't understand that fully and won't until I get to heaven.
Yeah, and it's touched on so lightly and so briefly from the pulpit. I mean, I'm hard-pressed to remember when it's really even come up.
Yeah.
And, I mean, it could backfire on you. Because if I'm the temple, then maybe all those tithes and giving should be coming this way.
Right. Yeah.
You know.
Don't be messing with the tithe.
You know, it's interesting. And I think I shared the story with you one day where, I mean, I had $10 to my name. That was it. And I'm sitting in church, and I have this very, very strong inside voice saying, put in the tithing basket. And I finally gave in. Okay, I'm going to trust you on this. I threw it in the tithing basket. And at the end of the service, as I'm walking out, one of the people I knew walked up and gave me $100. Okay? I mean, I eventually came to understand that tithing for the purpose of tithing is wrong. Tithing to get the promise of you'll receive tenfold is incorrect. I mean, it is and it isn't. It is under the pretense. It is the way it's taught from the pulpit. It's wrong.
That's right. That's right.
Okay. Paul talks about giving. Paul talks about you can't outgive God. Okay. when I look at my life, the things I have given away, I have been blessed tenfold.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So it's a heart condition. Okay. It's like when the Lord laid on my heart to give $100, there's $100, it's for you, it's not for the church.
Mm-hmm.
And it turned out that that's what needed so he and his wife could get away for a long weekend.
Yeah.
Did I get anything tangible back from that? Not that I could attach to it,
mm-hmm.
but have I received blessings? Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, but nothing I can tie to that specific act.
Mm-hmm.
And why do I need to?
Mm-hmm.
You know, why do, when we give under the direction of God, you know, not because the church says so, but because God has laid it on my heart to give money or something to this person or to this organization or whatever, when it's been laid on my heart by God and I'm obedient to that,
mm-hmm.
that's where it's going to come back. But it's not necessarily going to come back in the same way it went out, meaning money.
Right, right.
But it's going to come back.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not taught. That's something I kind of grew to learn on my own.
Mm-hmm.
The 10% guarantee that, mm-hmm. or money back guarantee or whatever it was.
Yeah. Okay. So again, Dave, I think it points to where the theme of our conversation here. Standard Christian teaching has been, if you cooperate with God, you give him so much, he gives it back to you.
Mm-hmm.
So in the end result is what comes back to you.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you're wanting God to bless you, then you've got to be obedient and give it to him first.
Right.
Right. So the bottom line is, how am I going to get better? How am I going to increase what I have?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when you think about it, that's the goal.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and it's sort of like with the message of salvation. How am I going to get this best reward?
Mm-hmm.
Heaven. More money. So it's all about what I get. The paradigm shift we're talking about is, it's not about what I get. It's not about me. It's about what God gets.
Mm-hmm.
And it's for me to understand his mind and his heart. It's not about what we get. It's about what we give. Self for others.
Mm-hmm.
It's giving is a life. Giving is, it's like love. It's an expression. It's outward. I'm not thinking about what I get out of this. God doesn't think about, okay, I'm going to love these people so they'll love me back.
Mm-hmm.
That's the mindset that we've taught people, okay? God loves us so that we will love him. God never has. I don't believe that was ever his intention that he would get love back. God is love. He just loves with no intention or design of getting anything back.
Yeah, that's where you start to grapple with the unconditional love.
Right.
You know, is it the love chapter, 1 Corinthians 13, mm-hmm. where
mm-hmm.
it goes through everything that love is
mm-hmm.
and isn't. And, you know, but the church has taught, like you say, that we give to get something back.
Mm-hmm.
I've had several conversations with really tough people when it comes to tithing.
Oh, yeah.
Because they said, you know, it's either I have seen people tithe who can't afford to tithe. They stay in poverty. It's taking away from the family. They can hardly feed them.
Mm-hmm.
And the church has promised they're going to get rewards, and they don't.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Or it's from adults who were, when they were children, their parents tithed, and the kids felt robbed
mm-hmm.
because their perception was they were in poverty and they didn't get things that other kids got. So it's a very, very sore subject with a lot of people, and understandably so.
Sure.
You know, told me one day that the church was supported not by the rich in the congregation, but by the poorest people.
Right.
They were the biggest tithers.
Yeah. Yeah. The biggest tithers were 10%.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if these people who were supporting the church was really getting a lot back. I don't know the situations, but the whole point of tithing, even if you go back to the New Testament, the Old Testament, when God told the Jewish people to tithe.
We're told, give the tithes to the Levites.
Levites, that's what I think of. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because they weren't given any land and they needed to be supported. Exactly. Okay. But even then, when I studied tithing, it was all tied back to the heart condition. Mm-hmm. You were the tithe with a loving, giving heart. Mm-hmm. In the New Testament, it's supposed to be the same way when it comes to giving. Mm-hmm. But the heart condition, I don't really recall that being mentioned a lot.
How many people do you know are really cheerful in giving tithes?
Not sure I've ever really met any, but I'm sure I met a few.
Well, there are exceptions. There are people who will say, tithing is the best thing in the world. Mm-hmm. But the vast majority of people actually have this little grudge. Like, I got to give this to God.
Yeah.
Even though they've been told, if you do, it'll come back. But then there's that fear when it doesn't. Mm-hmm. And it has not sometimes.
Yeah.
You explained. And there have been people, who have said, wow, I gave all that to God and nothing's happened. Mm-hmm. We've heard that story. My point is, how many people really love to be cheerful givers through tithing? No. The church that we were part of, I had, at the time, I didn't know really how to explain it, but I always had this quench in my spirit whenever they would say or ask us to, when it got up to do the offering, all right, people, it's our chance to give back to God. Give back to God? Like, yeah, it's all his and he doesn't want us to have it? What? I got to give it back to him? You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So it creates this thing, well, God, it's all God's and he wants it for himself. And he only gives it to us to manage for a little while. But it's really his. And if we don't give it back to him, then we'll pay the price.
Mm-hmm.
See where that all winds up? What is in it for me?
Well, there were three pastors that were challenged about how much of the tithe that comes in do they give back to God.
Mm-hmm.
And we could learn a lesson from this. Okay. The first pastor said, well, I draw a circle on the floor. I stand in the middle of the circle and I throw the money up in the air. Whatever comes down in the circle, I give to God. Whatever lands outside the circle, I keep. So the second pastor says, well, yeah, I draw a circle. I just draw a small circle.
Yeah.
And I throw it up in the air and what comes down in the circle, I keep. What lands outside, I give to God. Third pastor says, well, I don't draw a circle at all. I just throw it up all in. Throw it all up in the air, and what God wants, he can take. What comes down is mine.
Yes.
So maybe that's the way. Maybe that's the way I should tithe. You know, there you go, God, take what you want.
Oh, that's a great story. Thanks for sharing it again. but see, that story is so. It so points out the whole mindset that Christianity has taught people, that God is this rich ogre and you don't mess. I mean, you got to get into a proper understanding with God. Okay, thank you for giving me this money, but I know it's yours and I got to be sure and give it back to you. See, God is this jealous, selfish, he's not going to share. That's the God that we've created.
Yeah.
Christianity. The real God is have it all. I don't want any of it. It's yours. Unconditionally. That's the self for others God. Read 1 Corinthians 13, as you pointed out, and see where you find a God that wants or keeps any kind of record or has any jealousy or any desire of his own. All he wants to be is known. He wants to be in us, revealed for who we are as his creation, the manifestation of himself. That's his greatest desire. But we've twisted it all around, and because we've got this God who's very capricious, and we don't know that we can trust him, because he's only in it for himself. You know, he's promised to take us to live with him, but I'm not sure I want to live with God like that forever. Because we all sit around the throne and sing Kumbaya all day long.
I don't know. It talks about Jesus said he was going to prepare a mansion for me. I picture this huge two-story house with a huge front porch, big pillars, you know, kind of Southern mansion style.
Yeah, right.
You know, so
you think you know, get
the big weeping willows in the yard, you know.
You think you'll get to pick your own floor coverings and paint? And
God, I hope not. I'm really lousy at that. Let's see, we're not going to be married.
But we've got this. See what we're dealing with here, Dave? We're dealing with two constructs that are opposed to each other. And we've been so comfortable with the first one that I'm into what God's going to give me. I'm all about that. And if I give him 10, he's going to give me 100. Yeah, I like that. if I be faithful, he's going to promise me heaven and no pain anymore. Yeah, I'm into that. But if you say, no, brother, God's greatest desire is to live in you now is his house. And whatever's happening in your life right now is what he is wanting. It's his opportunity, what he's managing and intending to happen so that he can be seen. He can be known. Most people are not so much into that.
Yeah.
So the struggle comes back to this, as we try to talk about Sunday morning, and we didn't articulate it this way. This has been a great conversation, in that this is the thing that holds us back. I'm still working with a God who I'm not sure is, I don't get it that he wants to give up all he has so he can become me. I mean, it's the other way around. If I get, I want to be sure of the kinds of things that are going to happen to me, for me.
Yeah.
It's what I get, not what God gets. So we have to come to that place where saying, no, you know, I want to know Jesus, and I'm going to put aside all of these preconceived notions, and I'm going to explore this thirst and hunger for him, to know him in the deepest way possible.
Yeah, it all comes back to what the focus of Christianity was intended to be. Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
You know, get rid of all the other bells and whistles and just say, okay. Like I say, you know, and this conversation has been good because it made me realize that when I have the opportunity to talk about Christianity, Christ, with someone, I have to be careful now not to put promises into the conversation that are mine and not coming from what Jesus says in the Word.
Exactly. Or make it, you know, your sales pitch. Jesus can give you so much more. And so we set people up for, just like we try to sell them a commodity or sell them some insurance. oh, this is, if you buy this product, it's, your life is going to be so much better.
Okay.
That's how we've pitched it.
Sure.
And so it's the end thing is, how can I be better? How can, mm-hmm. how can, it's about me. How can I be better off than I am now?
Mm-hmm.
And instead the focus is, no, how is God better off?
Yeah. It, in a way, we are, as we share Christ with somebody,
mm-hmm.
we're sharing Christ, we're sharing a hope. Paul, when he was Saul, and he was this zealot Jew,
mm-hmm.
he had hope, but the hope is not what we perceive as hope today. Mm-hmm. It was an understanding that God was going to renew the earth.
Mm-hmm.
He was going to send, you know, I'm sure he was of the mindset that he was looking for a David-style Messiah.
Mm-hmm. Well, that was the old...
But yeah. He knew that eventually God was going to renew the earth.
Mm-hmm.
And that was his hope. That's what he was striving for, was mm-hmm. to get the Jewish nation in line so God would renew the earth.
Yeah.
But so in a way, as we're teaching Christ, that understanding of hope, and as if I recall correctly, hope in the Greek is an anticipation and an expectation of Christ working.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It doesn't say how,
right.
It just says he will.
Mm-hmm.
And if we're trying to sell anything, which is a bad way to put it, but that's what we're selling is hope.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yep. We're sharing.
Yeah.
Okay. Helping someone understand that, look, there is legitimate hope in your life. How it's going to play out, I have no idea. But if you can really start to understand who Jesus Christ is.
Okay. So, all right. And the sell job is hope in a blissful future, heaven. That's mm-hmm. that's what we teach, is the hope.
Yeah.
The hope of heaven.
But even that, all of a sudden, I'm making it really difficult to, you know, or, that's something somebody's got to come to an understanding on their own.
Yeah. Or do we?
We just need to share Jesus Christ, what we know about him, without adding anything to it.
Okay. Here's the pitch, Dave, that I think we should work on. Instead of telling people, accept Jesus and you get the hope of heaven.
Mm-hmm.
The pitch should be, accept Jesus and find out who you really are.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah.
Find out who you really are as a person, as a creation of God, as a human.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, we're trying to tell people they're not really fulfilled until they go to heaven. No, Jesus didn't. That wasn't his message. His message is, no, you can be fulfilled in knowing who you are right now as me.
Mm-hmm.
And that was Paul's, that was the gospel of Paul.
Yeah. I mean, and you may have experienced this. I experienced it a few times when I was trying to evangelize. And I mean, I never started the conversation with, if you were to die, would you go to heaven or hell?
Mm-hmm.
I never started it that way, but eventually heaven and hell would come up.
Oh, yeah.
And there were a number of people I talked to who didn't believe in either.
That's right.
Now what do you do?
Right. Yeah, you were stymied. Yeah.
You know,
you had no carrot. Suddenly you didn't have the carrot.
Yeah. It's like, what? So what happens when you die? I don't know. Don't care.
Yeah. Yeah, right.
You know, I'm dead. What do I care?
Yeah, why do you care?
You know, so, and like I've told you a number of times, when I told Billy, I don't care
mm-hmm.
whether I go to heaven or hell. I want to know, does Christianity have any value in this life?
Exactly.
And that's really, I think, what people probably want to know. Mm-hmm. What's the advantage of being a Christian?
Mm-hmm.
You hate gays, you're against abortion, and they'll come up with all this stuff that we don't like.
Right.
and we hate, because that's because we've done such a great job mm-hmm. of sharing the truth of Jesus. Mm-hmm. So you know, you and I talked one time, is probably, I think it was you and me, when to start this conversation, it might be, what do you think about Jesus Christ? Mm-hmm. What do you know about him? Mm-hmm. And let them get it all out on the table so you can have a conversation rather than an argument.
Yeah. 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 And you're right, Dave. What does Jesus mean to you? Is he a means to the end, or is he really the answer to your life? Mm-hmm. To meaning to your life?
Yeah.
Yeah. Comes down to that. We need to talk more about this end time fulfillment. What if heaven is not that whole construct, if that's not the end game for God, then what is? Mm-hmm. And you mentioned a new earth and recreation, all that. I think we need to have a discussion, lay that all out. Okay, if Christ is our life, then what is going to be what's going to happen to earth? What does that mean in terms of God's plan for the earth, new heaven, all that? Where does that fit? Right? If God's coming in being in us now, does everything just stay the same? What happens? So mm-hmm. we need to bring that up in a future conversation.
Well, in the meantime, you want to make an investment?
You got some land on Mars or something?
No, I'm thinking we should open a bar and call it heaven.
Well, I'm sure there's a whiskey called heaven, isn't there?
Yeah, apparently there should be.
Yeah. There you go.
This kind of makes me rethink a few things as far as conversations with people.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, because, you know, we can very easily interject promises we shouldn't.
Right. And that's then how we've sold Jesus. We've made all these kinds of promises. All right.
Okay.
Let's put a pause on it and wrap it up. See where we go in the next week.
All right.
All right, partner.
All right. You have a good one.
Take care.
You too.
All right.